This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Feminino, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Feminino, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I want to say something here before I bring up another Bregman thing. All right. First of all, yes, 3 o'clock. Ha, ha, ha. The whole bit. There you go. Odyssey.com rewind and whatever. Can I have 1 minute here on the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Because I've had enough. And I'm telling you, in 2027, when this CBA runs out, the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to be the reason the entire sport changes. This has gotten to a point of parity. I mean, the Dodgers are signing pitchers that they don't have room for in the rotation. They already had a great rotation. Okay, so fine. They lost Flaherty, but they have Glasnow. They go and get Sasaki. They got Yamamoto. They got Bobby Miller. Now we're going to go out and sign Numbnuts McGee. Hey, the dead body of Clayton Kershaw is back. This is like our topic we're going to do at some point with the Pistons. When you feel like the league has gone rotten, it is very hard to enjoy the success of your own team because it's in a sewer. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Dodgers are openly circumventing the rules in a bad faith manner. And it's legal, but it doesn't mean it's right. And I'm sitting here in Detroit and I'm going, we made the playoffs last year, and I don't even feel like it matters.
You know what it feels like, Mike? It feels like the financial version of the shift in baseball, where you can just kind of stack players and move them wherever you want to go.
Yep.
And I was like, come on, guys. This is not what the game's supposed to be. It's no rule against it, so we're going to do it. And that's where the Dodgers are right now.
It's got to change.
When the new deal comes up, then yes, you can't do this. You can't pay players, grandchildren, because you want them to play for you right now.
I want to ask fans a question. And this is where I have not told David, Rico, or Kenny this question. But I think it's loosely related to Bregman. It's one of the reasons I was scared to bring him here. And although your park is more hitter neutral, when it comes to home runs, it's not. Here we go. We just got done in hour one talking about we felt great relief that Alex Bregman didn't take the Tigers, in my opinion, very generous offer of 6 years and $170 million. I can't make fun of Chris. I can't make fun of Scott. I wouldn't have offered six to this guy, but that's another thing for another day. The point is, he didn't take it. He took a short-term deal to go to a better ballpark and change positions to do so. That's the point I wanted to make in the 3 o'clock hour. I have a question. And I'm asking you to suspend reality for a minute. But as Tiger fans, do you wish Comerica Park was more of a help than a hindrance to being able to sign actual baseball players who like to hit baseballs? Because the reality is, at best, this is a low-end hitter's park from a power perspective. At worst, look, I've seen it on Park Factor where the Tigers are like sixth or seventh hardest park to hit a home run. What did we talk about with right field? You know, or for a right-hander pull hitter? that it would kill Bregman's power by 5 to 7 home runs a year. Well, what if it were different? What if it were a park that would increase Bregman's productivity? Wouldn't that have been a reason he would have come here? I mean, why do you think the Tigers never consign bats? Nobody wants to play here. And while you're going to say, listen, it's great for pitching, I understand that. It's tilted to the other way because from a power standpoint, it's really hard to hit a home run in this place. Like, if you lived in a dream world, and before everybody freaks out, remember, they altered the park at Camden Yards. You know, they altered this park at one point. Remember the flagpole being in play?
Yeah.
I think they got one look at that and went, what the hell did we build? This is like Yellowstone National Park. I mean, it's the polo grounds. You can't do this.
Right. It looked cute in the business meeting, but yeah, actuality, no.
Would you, if you ran the Tigers, would you have a very aggressive ballpark alteration that would at least play to a certain type of offensive player? Not turning it into Yankee Stadium where 300 feet down the line on a pop fly and it's a homer. Not installing a pesky pole. Not doing something stupid, but having some part of this park become easier to the pole field to hit home runs. And obviously, once you get to the gaps in this place, I mean, you may as well put trees out there. It's a forest, especially, but a scoreboard. I wonder, I'm not asking for a cookie cutter park of the 1970s, Rico's childhood, where every park looked the same. It was like Create a Stadium on Sega Genesis. I do wonder when we sit here and we beg this team to sign bats, if I were repping a player, I wouldn't want them here. Because their numbers are going to suffer. And again, in a day and age, Rico, of power, power matters. This is one of the 5, 6, 7 hardest parks to hit a home run. Is this an insane question
to just gauge a fan base? No, it's not. Because here's the thing. The park was made, it wasn't made for modern day baseball because it is about home runs and it's about the analytics and the exit velo and all of that. They're not maximizing the park. It's like, okay, you built a park where basically you need a bunch of singles and doubles hitters and they would flourish here. Except for that's not where baseball is right now. Or the other thing, Mike, I could live with this park if this team took advantage of the dimensions and said, we're going to have the most lights out pitching staff ever. When you come to Comerica, you're not going to get anything because we're going to invest in what we have. We're not going to change the dimensions, but we're going to change the mentality. We're going to have this pitching staff that's just above reproach where it's not, you're going to have Scooble followed by a bunch of people. It's probably why pitching chaos works here.
That's exactly what I was going to say is, does pitching chaos last year work if that ballpark exists?
Pitching chaos will never work again in the next 40 years of baseball.
It was
a one-time only thing, brother.
But would it have been as effective last year?
No. I totally agree with you guys. I'm just making a point.
By the way, I like the idea. I think I'm not anti that idea. It's just
I think the ballpark is beautiful. Like, I think it's a super cool ballpark, especially now they've actually decided to remove tube TVs and spend some money on it. The point is, you do start to look at your park and never being able to either acquire or develop power. You're never going to have it. Now, if you have titanic power, 70 grade power, 65 grade scouting power, you know, you're a Pete Alonso, you hit a ball to the moon, right? You were Miggy in his prime.
Doesn't matter.
He hits him where no ballpark holds him. But Aaron Judge, another case.
Your guy Judge, yeah. He hit
those guys are generational. So the not a fringe player, but it's like if I'm going into free agency like Alex Bregman and I'm signing a guy who in Houston with the Crawford boxes is about a 25 home run hitter, his representation is not going to let him come here because here he's probably an 18 home run hitter and his life is miserable.
And I think that these are conversations that the players and their agents are having of, okay, well, if you go here, these numbers will go down. So when you want that next contract, guess what? You're not going to make this amount of money because they're going to come to the table and say, well, here's your stats in the last 3 years while you were playing in Detroit. you can't retaliate and say, yeah, but it was Detroit and the park was bad. No, it's so you have to make the choice, okay, and it's where the Detroit tax kicks in.
Thank you.
Numbers are going to be worse than where they are, but we'll pay you more.
But here's the thing. You just said it. Yeah, the Detroit tax. We always talk about it. But this is an example. The Detroit tax didn't work because of the ballpark. There was no way Bregman was going to come here, even if we paid him 10 years, $500 million. Well, maybe $500 million. He comes here. But you get my point. The tax didn't work. The ballpark is the detriment.
But you need, and that's the case, and you need to invest in the pitchers. And I want to give him credit because Call of TJ just texted me. But, yeah, back when you had Scherzer and Verlander, and Porcello, like you had arm after every
night.
But
it didn't matter what park you put those guys
in. No, but I'm saying because of this park, because it's not for hitters, you're taking advantage of that because it won't be home runs hit. Yeah. It'll be lower scoring games. So invest and have the best pitching staff that you can if you're not going to bring the dimensions in.
Yeah, and again, it's the reverse. I mean, you know, why do I think Colorado will never win anything? Because they play in an environment, and humidor be damned, Coors Field is just not conducive to having a pitching staff with an ERA under 50. Right. You know, you play in certain park. Now, again, the Yankees play in an offensive-minded park down the pole fields, but they still have pitchers that are good enough. You survive it. I mean, it's not like Garrett Cole can't pitch anymore. I just wonder if having a park that it's this hard, I think it was the seventh or sixth hardest park to hit a home run on Park Factor, and I think about the conversations that happen with somebody like an Alex Bregman, or think about a Pete Alonso. Like, not that the Tigers went after it, or a Teoscar Hernandez, or how about a Santander? Now, that's a guy who just had this power eruption. You know where he's not going to go? Here.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, I'm going to sign a deal, and everyone's going to want me dead. I can't hit the ball that far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll be labeled a bust, but so it's not really.
And there's no yelling and screaming about this. It's just I wanted to know if you guys were thinking the way I was thinking about it, where it's like, look, you can create a park where pitching and speed and, you know, roster flexibility. But the reality is if you're going to win the World Series, yes, you need pitching and power. It's the two P's. You got to have power, and you're never going to develop it here. Yeah, sure, you go, well, we just need another Cabrera or 12. Well, good luck. 248-539-9797. We'll get with the people momentarily. Just a little bit of fun as we wrap on Bregman.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring?
Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get to the people in a second. Bregman to Boston. We're relieved. If you want to talk about the contract stuff, you want to talk about how bad you wanted him or where the Tigers go, two options. You can call or Odyssey.com Rewind, because we kind of spent the first hour on that. The last question on it before we kind of move to other things today is, you know, how much of a factor do you think the ballpark plays when you're pursuing some of these guys? I mean, obviously, the Tigers haven't spent a bunch of money, okay? But when they go to sign bats, you're always at the back of the list. Nobody wants to play here. This is not an easy park to hit home runs. And how do you make money? Homers. It's not a batting average game anymore. Do you hit bombs? Do you hit doubles, triples? Do you drive the baseball? So it was a different angle, because where did Bregman go? The park I've been telling you of his final destinations was by far and away the best way for him to make money. Go to a park with the green monster right there, and that's probably going to preserve his home run power between 25 and 30 a year, and probably elevate the amount of doubles he hits. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, Alex Bregman may opt out, re-sign with Boston, and make all the same money. David, go ahead with the ticket text. We'll go to the calls.
I want a batter who can play small ball and a good all-around batter, not a home run hitter. I'm just fine with how Comerica Park is.
Is that a ticket text? Is this like Quantum Leap with Scott Bakula?
I was about to say.
It feels like they went way back.
Did that come in from 1953?
Maybe they should go after Ichiro.
Maybe all the gentlemen will start going to the games in suits and derby hats.
Yes, I never understood why the Tigers make Comerica Park so large. If I were in charge, I would have made the stadium the shortest possibly I could have made it for hitters. This ballpark is too big. Mike, Rico, a shorter field might backfire if the other team gets off on it and we get down on the score. Ike in Detroit. Someone else has a point here.
I'm glad someone's going to make a point, because I haven't heard one yet.
Guys, when this stadium was built, it was the steroid era. They made it for that, and they need to make adjustments.
Well, they did make an adjustment. I'm saying, is it something where you wish it would be not violent, but like a more aggressive adjustment to one part of the park where you can then dial in and go, look, we're going to be able to have good, you know, left hand power hitting, and we're going to make it even easier to drive the baseball. I mean, if you go out and you're a left handed hitter and you put that ball out there to right center, out by the scoreboard, I mean, forget about it. Oh, that's where baseballs go to die. Mm-hmm. So it's that type of question. Because I do think it plays a role with the free agents. And if you had a better park and you offered 6 years for Bregman, you probably get the guy. To me, I think part of what kept him from, hey, you have his manager here, and you still couldn't reel him in. Because when push comes to shove, I think Boris and him sat down and they went, if you go there, you are never getting paid again. And you're going to basically be a 17 home run a year guy. Mm-hmm. What fun is that?
TJ from Scranton says, hey, take a look at what happened to Curtis Granderson. When he went to New York, everything changed. They need to bring in right center field immediately.
Well, and again, he was a dead pole hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, look, Bregman is going to do his damage to the pole field. And this is not an easy play. Again, Fangraphs and Park Factor, he would hit 5 to 7 less home runs per season here. So think about signing a guy last year who only had 19 home runs and an even worse OPS because of it, and an even worse OB, all of it. Like, That's where I got scared with the signing, when you really dug into the numbers. You let the sizzle fade and you start looking at the steak and you go, go to Boston. I'll live with the results. Yeah. Let's go to Joe, 97.1. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Not much. Hey, I'm a baseball fan of all sports. Nice to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me. But anyways, one thing I've never been able to wrap my brain around since I was even a kid, why aren't the dimensions the same in every league ballpark from foul pole to foul pole like every other sport is? Tennis plays on the same dimensions. Football, basketball. You know what I mean?
Joe, no, I honestly do, and I was told that's the nuance of baseball, and it's because it's – yeah, I've often said the same. Like, there's not a different three-point line in Golden State than it is in Detroit. It's the same line, but –
Exactly, and you can. There's still ways to design it where it looks cool, and you can put people here or up or down or suites and all that stuff. But I just, that blows my mind, and that makes it a level playing field. And then, you know, I mean, I just.
But that's not the romance of baseball, Joe. That's why.
Yeah, he wants to homogenize it like the NBA. I mean, Joe, I get what you're saying, but part of the charm of baseball are things like the Green Monster or the Ivy at Wrigley. Or the Crawford boxes, or you name, like, different stuff, the short porch in, at Yankee Stadium. I don't think you can turn everything into old Three Rivers Stadium and every park. Like, I referenced it earlier, Joe, there was an era in baseball where that was exactly what was being done. Hell, the walls in the outfield were circular.
Yeah.
They were perfectly curved.
Philly, yeah.
Philly, Pittsburgh, yeah, all the parks, Kansas
Cincinnati,
City.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were all the same. So, Joe, I just don't think that that's, you take away some of the charm. I think it's I like this park, and you can build a winner here, but it's just very hard to go on the open market and you sign a guy, and literally the calculations his representations are going to run are, like, when Prince Fielder signed here, and forgive me if this is a little bit inaccurate, but the general premise holds true. I think that when he signed here, it said he would have hit 14 less home runs. The last season he was in Milwaukee, he would have hit 14 less playing here at Comerica Park. Now, think about that, because that's a direct attack on your money. It really is.
Yeah.
So I that's why we just brought it up.
And so, it ends up being that you'll get that player that's at the end of their run, or they're desperate, they just need that deal. All right, we'll take Detroit's money, knowing we're not going to get great numbers, but we'll cross our fingers and we'll see.
Go to Mike, 97.1. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm excellent. What's up?
Hey, so yeah, I just wanted to talk about this. You know, I'm kind of that happy medium between baseball purist and, like, new fan, right? Yeah. Like, no, small ball's dead, but at the same time, I like a unique park. I think that you need to get a roster tailored to your ballpark. Now, I know that only works for half the season, but, you know, we need guys in the lineup that are going to bring up the OPS of the group. And as Bregman gets older, who knows if those numbers are going to stay steady. So I'm okay with not signing Bregman, but I feel like we need to look for guys like a Vierling, like a McKinstry, guys who are going to use the big part of the park and try to, you know, get the second, get the third.
Well, like, great example. The type of player you need for this park is a guy like Kerry Carpenter. Just a dead pull lefty hitter, and if you pull a ball, you can hit 30 bombs in this place. But the opposite field power stuff, the power alleys. I don't, the baseball goes to die.
It goes to die. Like, I don't know. I disagree. You know what? Like, chicks dig the long ball, as the old saying goes, and, like, I get it. Like, you know, home runs are going to get people in the stands, but if you can get guys on base, and it's, I know it's a money ball strategy, and it's, could work, could not, but I feel like you need runs. And if you're going to get guys to go to the power alleys and hit doubles, triples, you're going to get runs the same as you would home runs.
Mike, there's no argument. Here's what it all boils down to. The money ball strategy is yet to produce a parade. Now, there are elements of it where, of course, every team in baseball is altering certain parts of their calculus to modernize. I agree with you. I'm not fighting you on that. What I am saying is the pitching chaos of the Rays, or what you did last year, the lineup flexibility thing, which is really just Moneyball minus Jonah Hill, it's yet to produce a World Series. And that's all I care about. So I think truth does lie in the middle. I'm not obtuse to that. But Mike, there's a reason I say what I say. You got to have a top half payroll, and you got to have prodigious power if you're going to win this thing.
So Mike, before you cut me off.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're fine.
Yeah, all right. Just one question I have for you.
Yes.
So I'm thinking about who are the guys that we can sign to do that?
Well,
would a guy like Guerrero be a guy that we could try to bring in here?
Guerrero. It would be incredible. And listen, that is Kenny.
Like, are those the type of guys we're looking at?
Yeah, that's Kenny and I's fantasy. Until I see Vlad Guerrero has inked a $300 million deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm going to dream. I'm allowed to dream.
Trade deadline.
And again, for a time, Vladdy's power was kind of sapped. He had a high ground ball rate. You go, wait, was the COVID year where he had 42 homers a mirage? And then last year happened, and you go, okay, that's the guy I remember. It's back. I don't know, man. Where I get scared, we're not doing this. This is 10 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, man, I'm not sure if Max Clark's power is ever going to happen. And then you factor in he plays in this ballpark, and I go, oh, Jesus. I can't.
Who could have gotten instead?
No. Max Clark's going to be the best player ever.
Hey, look, Death Storm's back.
Be best player ever. Quickly, before we transition to a little bit of football, and then we have something Kenny is just dying to do, to show you how nobody gives a damn about the Four Nations. But we're going to make it fun. We're going to make hockey great again. Alex Bregman, we've given it 90 minutes. Odyssey.com rewind if you missed out, respectfully. I have one quick question here, and then we can get to the ticket text. Something or nothing, and I'm not going to put on my tinfoil hat, and I'm not going to do the whole Unsolved Mysteries music, but I have a conspiracy theory I'm building.
Okay.
In my quest to A, be happy with football, and B, root for radio gold, my never-ending quest of bringing Matthew Stafford to the New York Football Giants, two pieces of intel have dropped. A trusted source. I'm kidding.
I wanted to make that joke, but I'm glad you did.
Two pieces of intel have dropped. And I want to know from Rico, Kenny, and David, something, and it could be minuscule, something or nothing. One. Does the name Chad Hall mean anything to you?
Yeah, sure does. Is that Stafford's brother-in-law?
That's correct. And the New York Giants' new wide receivers coach.
Oh, okay.
We're hiring family. This is like Alabama recruiting 1985. Uncle Bumpy just got a job. So look, Chad Hall.
Reggie Bush, mom's a house.
Okay. Done and done. New wide receiver coach is Stafford's brother-in-law. Number two, Shedeur Sanders is talking that talk. I'm not going to be around at six. Suggesting the Raiders are going to move up and get him with the New York Giants at three. Something or nothing.
Can I add to
this? I get Mason Graham at six.
Can I add to this?
Yes.
I saw that Shedeur Sanders visited two teams he talked to, Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants.
Just something or nothing. Can you just
live? I think it is. You know, for me, the biggest holdup is going to be Kelly. I don't know if Kelly wants to move to New York. I don't know if she wants to part ways with her brother and her husband. So, no, I don't. Mm-mm. I think it's possible. Now, yeah, if Stafford goes to your Giants, along with neighbors, because I just feel sorry for him because, like, this kid is good, and he's got nobody throwing the ball. Imagine if he had a real quarterback. I'd say it's something to keep an eye on. The Shedeur thing, let's see how that, because I think that's going to be the fly in the ointment. Go ahead, Kenny.
Just thinking about Kelly Stafford in New York, the amount of criticism she faced here is about a third of what it would be.
What are you talking about? New York's a totally understanding, compassionate, and graceful market.
That's right. They treat everybody with respect on the Doug Karsh plan.
Doug Karsh loves New York.
Signed Philadelphia fans. Yes.
That's going to be a nothing for me.
I mean, guys, I'm not asking a lot. Am I allowed to just dream a little bit that
you
the
can
smoke
dream
about Stafford to New York? Is it? I mean, look, coaching staff's under pressure. GM's under pressure. The Giants can't go into the season with a rookie quarterback. Everyone's getting fired, and then you basically become the Bears with a worse stadium. You get Stafford there. It immediately raises the bar. Pass protection was not a problem for the O-line.
I get to be happy. I move down from three. Mason Graham, go blue. I put him next to Sexy Dexy. Stafford is on my team. I'm in Detroit with you guys. You get to make fun of me every week when Stafford immediately blows out, tears his UCL, or Kelly rips the team in the paper every day. This is a win-win for everybody.
I'm in for this. I don't want to take away your joy. I just want to ask this as a think like your dad, not like you, because we've already established you're a different type of fan. Would you rather Matthew Stafford on the downside of his career or Shador or Cam Ward, if one is available, and you can build and maybe have your own Jaden Daniels type of quarterback? Which would Giants fans rather have?
Well, now we're welcome to pickleball, I guess. I'm going to hear serve and volley, bitch.
If Cam Ward, think like your dad, and your dad would never speak to me that
way. If Cam Ward or Shador were in last year's draft, where do they go? They don't go number one overall. They don't go above May. They don't go above Daniels. Do they go above JJ?
See, I think they would.
They don't go above Penix.
See, I think they would have went above May.
What?
I think they would have went above May.
Okay, I'm out.
No, I think at that point, Mike, it's a Coke or Pepsi type of thing that a GM will say, okay, they're close, so which one do I like
these
more?
These are quarterbacks that should go in the 20s. They don't even have a grade close to those guys from last year. That's why I'm scared to take them. Don't you understand it?
Gotcha. But don't we always say that every year? Like, well, if this quarterback was in that class.
What do you want me to say?
I'll just ask you a question.
Not all of us can find some hillbilly combine driver and he turns into a $50 million quarterback. Ass.
There is something to the Shador Sanders.
Talk to me. Come
on. There is something. I do believe that he could be going to the New York
Giants.
Pray for
me, you rat bastard.
Now, what there isn't, there is nothing with the Stafford to New York thing. I don't believe that that's happening for because selfishly, I want him to go a little bit south, and I want him to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, very Christian of you. Thanks a lot. Selfless is a word.
No, you can have Shador.
Oh, no, no. All those commercials during the Super Bowl, and this is what you give me.
Oh, you should have been in there during our commercial break. I had to leave. I was just like,
I didn't say anything crazy.
Patience and compassion being taught at Greater Life.
Who likes Perkins on ESPN? Who likes them? No one.
David had ice cream, extra salt.
He was yelling about Perkins. He was yelling about Team Canada. He was yelling about basically everything we were talking about.
I just backed out of the room.
Read the ticket text and we'll get to some football. I just had to ask. God, I was excited and you two just bleeped in the stocking.
No.
Thanks a lot.
No, hold on. I simply said, not you, but would Giant fan want brand new shiny toy or Matthew Stafford?
Stafford.
So that's all I was asking.
I don't know that I trust either of these guys. I think Cam Ward's got an incredibly high ceiling, but an incredibly low floor. Shador, it's probably safer, but I think he's more limited in what he can do.
But see, but a lot of times I think we do have the revisionist history. We're like, oh, well, because Jaden Daniels was like, well, if he was in the draft beforehand, he wouldn't have went that.
You don't get to do. Last year was a great quarterback class. Why would you say that? Now, why would you hurt me that way?
I'm not hurting you, Mike. I'm just saying every year the quarterback class is horrible.
It was very good
last year.
Because
the year before was great. And it's like, was it though?
It was very good. Come on. You know it was very good last year.
I know.
And you know what Tommy DeVito did to us.
Yeah.
It's what David does every Saturday night producing a kid. Tommy DeVito gave us the old high hard one. And that's why we don't have a quarterback.
But you had great chicken cutlet sandwiches at the tailgate. They was.
No! What just happened here?
Don't ever play those two drops together at the same time ever again.
Please.
Oh, God.
I got interesting.
I hate everything. F the ticket text. We'll get to them in a little while.
What, Mike, you can find a quarterback in the seventh round.
Go to hell. All right, David, give us a little damn music.
So I want to go through some potential trade candidates in the NFL. I want to know what you would give up for them.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the NFL finally, the last few years, has gotten into actual player trades. You never used to see this. Not even growing up. You didn't see it 10 years ago. Now, players
get free agents.
Right, players get traded. So I'm in. I like this.
Just for you, Michael, what would you give up for Matthew Stafford?
John Mara, straight hostage release. If you're the Giants, anything except the number three overall pick has to be on the table. I just don't think Stafford at this stage of his career nets you first-round draft capital. Now, if the Giants were, work with me, a really good playoff team, like let's say they were Minnesota, and they won a bunch of games, and you gave up the 27th pick in the draft, maybe. But I'm willing to give up a pick or two because Rams have this weird obsession with maybe moving him. I don't know. They don't want to give him a contract.
Like a third and a fifth?
Oh, I'd do it all day. I think he gets more than that. To me, I'd give more than that. Yes.
A series of wide receivers here. Wonder what you would give up.
Let's start. Rico will give up a sub sandwich. He hates wide receivers.
Let's start with the New York Jets wide receiver, Garrett Wilson.
Go ahead.
I'd give up a fourth.
What?
A fourth? Well, okay. He doesn't value wide receivers.
Dude, Rico picks up the phone and just bludgeons people in trade talks.
Wow.
I think to me it's second round plus. I don't know that you get a first round pick out of it because you have to pay this kid. And then all of a sudden, and again, his production has been all over the place. There clearly was something wrong with his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. I like him. I don't love him.
Fourth.
And the list will get better. I'm really willing to see.
I hope Rico's offers do.
I want to see this, okay? Let's go to another wide receiver. Let's go to Cooper Kupp. What are you giving up for him, Rico?
Hit it.
A six-round pick.
He's not wrong.
Okay.
All right. He's a very expensive player.
We do not pay wide receivers. Now,
Rico's right.
Six round.
So let's get a little better. DK Metcalf.
Everything. I think if you're a team like they don't have San Diego anymore. If you were a team like the LA Chargers.
Yeah, I still do it as well.
I think you. Oh, I know. Listen, that's a player. He's built in a lab. He is a red zone target. He's a 50-50 target. He's frustrated as all hell in Seattle. If I bring him to LA for Harbaugh, and I got Ladd McConkey in the slot, I got him as that big perimeter target for Herbert, yeah, I'd absolutely give a first-round pick for DK Metcalf.
See, I was going to say multiple picks, but the highest one being a second-rounder, but I would give up multiple to get him there.
I'm going to leave the biggest one for last because I want to get to this one. You probably say nothing for this one, but Christian Kirk.
Rico, hit it.
28.
We do not pay. Yeah, seventh-rounder. I'll wait till you cut him.
That may happen. It may happen. You're right. He's a cut candidate. So.
I don't want him. I've always thought he's a trinket player, you know, a third wide receiver at best on a really good team. I'm not trading for that.
And just so you know, I don't hate the position of wide receiver.
I know.
There's so many out on the field, and there's only a hand. Like DK Metcalf, if you really said we want a number one pick for him, okay, you can have it. But I would haggle for it. But I would say, how about a second and a fourth? Or how about a second and a third next year? But, yeah, Christian Kirk, no.
I left the biggest wide receiver name for last because it's going to be a tag and trade scenario if it happens.
T.
Higgins. Now, you can negotiate it because it's like two first-round picks if you tag. But you can negotiate
that. Yeah, it's multiple high-end picks. Yeah. It's not two firsts, but it's a 1+3 or 1+3 and four. It's going – look – I just think his greatest crime in this life is that he's not Ja'Marr Chase. But he's a fabulous receiver. I think he borders on top 10. He's in his prime. Again, if you're the Chargers, if you are the Patriots, I think that's the one. You've got to quickly get in there and help Drake May. Give Josh McDaniels a veteran who from day one can hit the ground running.
Yeah,
I would give up just about whatever it takes to get to
Eagles. Yeah, multiple first-round picks. With one being a first-round selection.
Rico offers a pub sub and a slap on the ass.
No, I would, but most because most receivers, it's almost like a running back. I can just get somebody, bring them in, and I'll have – it's why they're getting rid of T. Higgins. Yeah, we don't want to pay you this money.
Not if Joe Burrow has anything to do with it. Let's get to the two tight ends before we get to a couple defensive players. Evan Ingram, tight end for the Jags, and Kyle Pitts.
Nothing. They're both absolute rat dogs. I mean, Evan Ingram had his moment in Jacksonville, but I don't want anything to do with him. He's brittle. Kyle Pitts does not like playing football for money. I am convinced of it. It makes no sense. The physical's there. All the metrics are there. Dude is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. That is a guy, as Rico put it, I wait till you're homeless and I offer you a blanket.
Or pub sub.
Right. Add avocado.
It's a heavy sub.
I don't want nothing to do with Kyle Pitts.
Gotcha. I'm going to put these next three guys together. They play in. They're edge, basically. You can tier them who you're giving the most to. You got Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, and Trey Hendrickson.
First two, I'd give up two first-round picks. Trey Hendrickson, a little bit less. Less flashy, good player. The Bengals don't have leverage on you because they may need a salary dump to keep other people. That's my list.
I guess, David, it would depend. Like, if I'm the Lions, I probably would do a first-round selection for all three. Because you have such a low first-round selection, go ahead and get rid of it now because it's glorified second-round pick. Because I got a feeling Brad Holmes is going to try to trade back anyway. So you might as well trade and get a Trey Henderson. But, yeah, all of them, in my opinion, would be worth a first.
So the next two guys here, Greg Newsome, cornerback for the Browns. He was already on list to possibly be traded.
Yep.
The other guy's his teammate. Denzel Ward is on this list because he's made comments that if Myles Garrett is dealt, then he'll have to think about what he wants for his future.
Oh, yeah, along with Joel Bitonio saying yes. He might retire.
Correct.
Let me be very open about this. I hesitate when we start talking corners. I think corner, more than any other defensive position, is scheme-specific. David, I have seen so many corners sign big free agent deals and then bomb.
Yeah, with Asamoah.
Nnamdi Asamoah back in 2010. Yeah, because he went from being asked to play zone to man, and he couldn't do it. David, I just would stay out of that marketplace. You know, last year it was a little different with L'Jarius Sneed. You understood what you were getting. Rico, you take this. I'm not getting involved with cornerbacks.
David, I look at corners the same way as receivers.
I do too.
Corners the same way as unless that's Sauce Gardner or somebody out there that I know, he's going to be good no matter where he plays. I'd rather just take somebody in the draft and groom my own player. So I'll just wait till you get released.
I'm with you on that. They to me, are a dime a dozen. You can find your guy in the draft, build him up, and then when it's time to pay him, unless he's that all-pro corner,
yeah.
I'm good.
O-linemen, D-linemen, linebackers, I'm your guy. I'll make a deal. I'll trade some picks. But
you win with big people.
Right.
That's the deal.
The receivers and the corners and the unless it's a like DK Metcalf
or
T Higgins. Like I think DK Metcalf I would take over T Higgins because DK is hungry. He wants out of Seattle. He hates everything about the Seahawks and he wants to win. So he's gonna come in motivated. Like seriously, I know they're not a viable option because they got enough receivers. Imagine him on the Lions team. Okay.
No, we already got enough guys in wide receiver.
I know. But I'm saying.
Highly unlikely.
He would come here and say, you know what? You guys are about winning. I want to be a winner. I hate my life where it was. So, yes, him. Because it's not going to be about the money for him. It's going to be about rings for him.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. That is in football today.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.